3 weeks ago, I think. We came back from America, and I picked up a magazine, a Zango magazine, and the editor's article was talking about dreaming. And dreaming is a very godly concept. It's something God wants to work through. He wants to give us a dream. And the world has latched onto this, and you'll find that many successful people, if you read the lives of many successful people, they were successful because they had a dream. And God wants us, it's a godly principle, He wants us to have a dream. Dreams are birthed out of desire. And if you've no desires, I'm telling you now, folks, you're going nowhere. The world doesn't want you to have desires. The devil doesn't want you to have a desire. The devil does not want you to dream because he knows the power that dreams are made of. The world likes drifters. And I think that there are also many Christians drifting in the world system and drifting in church, but with no specific goal, no specific aim, don't know what God's saying to them, don't know where they should be, don't know what God's purpose is in their lives. And that is not what God wants. You know, the drifters, I think of like a piece of wood on the ocean. It just goes where the waves and the wind take it. It just drifts from place to place. It's at the mercy of the waves. It's at the mercy of everything that happens to it. It's a victim. And it just goes where the wind blows it. The world wants you to follow whims and fads. You lads know this, don't you? It's all about, we have to wear the scruffiest jeans, and I'm sorry to say this, but they want people to dress down, and they want the levels to go down. They don't want people to look good and to rise higher. But you know, God wants us to look good. He wants us to rise higher. He wants us to go for the dreams that He has for us. And, you know, the world wants to follow the crowd. It wants to do what everybody else does. It's not cool to stand out and be different. Well, let me tell you, in God's kingdom, it's cool to stand out and be different. I like being different to the world. If I don't like their standards, they are not going to make me accept their standards. I want God's standards and God's ways. You know, the world is very much, they're victims of their feelings. If things are not going well, they're moaning and they're complaining. And they're ruled by their emotions. And, you know, if we let our emotions rule and our feelings rule, we'll go up and down. We'll have a real roller coaster ride, won't we? We'll be going up and down and up and down. And God wants us to be steadfast and secure on Him. You know, the world wants people to be negative. The world encourages couch potatoes. Lay on the settee, watch the television and let the world go by. And we can do whatever we want to you. We can pull the rug from underneath you and you'll never see it coming. This is the mentality that the world wants you to have. The world says, you need idols. You need to mould your life on this idol. You need to do what they do. This is the pattern for success. No, it's not. You look at some of these idols and where have they ended up? Their lives are sad, sick. I don't want to end up like these idols. You know, it's the clone mentality. We've all got to be like a certain person. He rules at the moment. He's the favourite, or she's the favourite, and we've all got to be like this person or that person. It's the clone mentality. No. The world puts restrictions on you. How many of you have been restricted by what your parents said about you? Someone else's evaluation of you. Gets us on shaky ground, doesn't it? we feel it's intimidating, it's threatening, it's demoralising, it robs you of success. You'll think, I can't be an achiever because my teacher said I could never achieve. That's not God's kingdom, that's the world's system. The world wants to control us. And in the world's economy, money is the measure of success. Now let's have a look at God's kingdom. God says he's put potential in you. Andrew preached for 18 months, I think, a few years ago, on fulfilling your potential. God has put a potential in you and he wants to harness it, and there's only God can fulfill it. The world will never fulfill that potential that God has placed in you. It can only be found in God. God has a purpose for you. His plans in Jeremiah 31:11 are, his plans are for a hope, a future, success. Come on, Joan. An expected end. Yeah. God has a good plan for you. He has good things for you. He has purpose for you. That's the most important thing. In God's kingdom, we're all individuals. We're unique. There's not two like you. Not two. Isn't that lovely? Every snowflake's different. And I tell you, every one of us are unique. We're all special. There's only one job that you can fulfill. There's one role that God has for you. And you alone can fulfill it. Nobody else. There's not two of you that are alike. There's no restrictions in God. I'm so pleased about that. He fills the universe, so where do you want to go? Dream. You can dream as big as you like. God can fulfill it. There's no limit to him. We've sung today, haven't we? How majestic he is. He rules. He reigns. The earth and the fullness thereof. He fills all in all. That's God. Cool. You can just go and go and go and go wherever you want to go. Freedom, not control. God wants to release us into freedom. He never ever controls us. He wants us to be free. He gives us a free will and he says, you choose. Do you want the world's way? Do you want your style cramped? Or do you want God's way? Do you want to be released into the fullness of your potential? The choice is yours. It's ours. What do we want to do? And the success, the measure of success in God's kingdom is all about, wait for it folks, character, not money. God is wanting to build in our character. Now, get this and get this now. God wants us to dream. Make that a big statement in your Bible today. God wants me to dream. What I found interesting when I was preparing this, the Holy Spirit said to me, what's the first commandment? The first commandment is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, with all your strength. Our first desire has to be for God. And that is, if our first desire is God, then everything else will find its fulfillment in that one desire, the desire for God. You'll never go wrong. You'll never get the wrong dream. You'll never go down the wrong path. You will see the fulfillment of your dreams if God is first in your life. Everything else will find its fulfillment from then on. It's like with everything else, you know, when God gives you money, he wants to know how much that money means to you. So what does he tell us to do with our money? Tithe. He wants the first portion. And God wants to be first in everything. And he wants to be first in your dreams. He wants to be your first dream. And he will fulfill every other dream from that. I want to especially speak to the youngsters here today, to Daniel. It's not without significance that Daniel's 18 today. Amen. It's the day when he has the key to the door, he becomes a man. And he's, we certainly want to put him on the right path, don't we, Dad, from this moment forward. But you know, he's had lots of teaching, lots of training. He's been grounded and rooted in the Word of God. And the Word says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So, Daniel, we're looking for great things in your life. It's the beginning of a new chapter for Daniel. He's going to university come the next couple of weeks or so. And so he's thinking then, career. Where do I go? What do I do? What's the future hold? You know, I think the two most important things that Daniel and Jonathan and Luke coming up that way, at that age, is our success, is our job, and it's our spouse. I think those two are very, very key elements at that age. And if I can instill it into you now, go God's way. Get God's dream. Don't be limited by what you see or what you don't see. God can bring to you what you don't have. God can give you what you need. But he needs you to dream. He needs you to ask. If you want choose to be a piece of driftwood, then don't moan at God when everything doesn't go right. And at the end of your years, you're saying, well, what have I achieved? Because believe you me, if you've got a dream from God, you'll know what you've achieved. And it's not always measured by success as the world sees it. You need to place your order. I don't know what, Daniel, what do you want to do when you've finished uni? You don't know yet what you're going to study at uni. Business and accounting. He's a brave man. He was when we listened on Friday afternoon, wasn't he, Philip? We were listening to Andrew talking about what we can and can't do and what we need to do, and we were looking at one another and saying, and Daniel's going into this. Yeah, it's a big, big subject. But your partner in life is very important, lads. And can I say this? I know you want girlfriends. I know that is probably, the world thinks we've got to have a girlfriend, we've got to do things certain ways. But let me encourage you, if you don't see your partner in the fellowship, if you don't see a godly partner, then don't be put off. God's a big God, and he can bring in the desire of your heart. Okay? And if Andrew will allow me to quote here, he did not see his partner in life when he was looking. So what did he do? He put his order in. And God had just the person. You know, the best thing you can do is get the partner in life that God has for you. Because along the way, that partner needs to understand covenant. Because when God gives you a dream, then all hell will be released against you. And you will go through it. And you'll need a partner that will stand alongside you. And when you're weak, she'll be strong. When you've lost the vision, she's still got it. When you're in the depths of despair, because it's not looking like God said, she's full of hope. When you can't pray, she can. When you don't know which way to go, she knows how to pray, calling God's answer. I tell you, the biggest responsibility we women have is to pray for our partners and to take them, see that they fulfill their potential, not by manipulation and control. That does not work. But prayer is the most powerful weapon that we have got. And I thank God for praying women in this fellowship who pray for their partners. They want to see them fulfill their potential. And let me tell you this, they will fulfill their potential because God has got them. And it's no accident that you and your partner are together. You're divinely matched. And God together will see that you're successful. But the key to your success lies in the partner that you choose. Don't pick anyone. Don't pick an ungodly one. Pick a woman who knows God, who understands covenant. A woman who, you know, when we were doing the teaching on our armour bearers, Andrew was first thinking of his first trip to China. And it didn't really suit me to go to China. I didn't want to go to China. Not really interested in that part of the world. And I do like to travel, but that wasn't one of my dreams. And God said to me, I've put you alongside him, you're his armour bearer. The armour bearer protects, shields, defends. Wow, what are we women? What are we wives? We are armour bearers. We stand and we protect. We shield them by prayer from the fiery darts, from the subtleties of the enemy. And so God said to me, you go, you're his armour bearer. He needs your divine protection. He's going into uncharted waters. He needs you. It's not nothing to do with how you feel or what you want to do. I've called you and appointed you. You do it. You know, let's have women who are prepared to listen to God and follow what he says. God will give you a dream. If you have a desire and God is first in your life, don't have any doubt that that desire is from God, because he places those desires in your heart. When you're in tune with him, he will place those desires in your heart and you follow that dream. You get hold of the word of God and you ask him to speak through that word. You ask him to give you something from that word that you can focus on, that you can follow, that will keep you going in the hard times. And God will do it. God gives the dream. He gives the word. And then that word, the Holy Spirit, as you receive that word and it goes into your life, it's like when a woman becomes pregnant. She's pregnant, there's life within her. But you know, there has to be an incubation period, doesn't there? And the Holy Spirit puts you through. He's incubating this seed, this life that God has placed within you. And he's going to bring it to birth. But it won't happen overnight. At creation, it says that the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters. He was brooding over those waters. God spoke the word of creation. The Holy Spirit hovered over those waters. He brooded over them. And out of chaos, order came. You know, if your life's in chaos, just look to God and he will bring order out of chaos. He loves impossible tasks. He's the God of the impossible. Don't ever be put off and thinking my situation is hopeless. It's beyond God. It's only beyond God if you won't dream. It's only beyond God if you won't look for him to fulfill and to bring order out of chaos. We've said that God's measure of success is character, not money. The world says that if you've got lots and pots and stacks of money, the more money you've got, the more successful you are. They all seem to think that David Beckham and his wife are very successful people. They're not successful in my eyes. They have no character. They're not what I look to. I don't want to mould my life on that type of person. Hey? No, it can't buy him a place in England team. Yeah, your character will let you down. How does God develop character through your dreams? I've named this, and you'll see later why. Dare to dream. To dream is a a risky business? I'll tell you now. God gives you a dream. The devil wants to steal it. The devil wants to stop it. He does not want that dream to be effective and to be fulfilled in your life. God does, so there's a battle going on. God fulfills the dream and develops your character at the same time, and it's all through a process. God takes you through process. Nothing that happens to you happens by accident. God has a plan, and he's working to this plan. We look at Abraham. God gave him the vision, didn't he? And Abraham didn't have a son. He had no offspring by Sarah, his wife. Yet God said to him that his seed was going to be as abundant as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Have you ever looked at the sand and seen how many grains? I can't look at the sand without thinking of God's promise to Abraham. And his children are going to be like that. Now, if you want an impossible dream, there's one. Okay? So take hope. I can't believe that you're in such an impossible situation. God has a wonderful way of showing us that he is mighty and he will fulfill his promise, his dreams. Well, it took Abraham 25 years to realise that that dream was from God and God was going to fulfil it. Abraham did his level best to fulfil that dream in the natural, but he couldn't fulfil it. Why? Because the dream was God's responsibility. He'd given him the dream and it was up to God to fulfil it. And there were some miracles needed in that dream. And so after 25 years of God taking Abraham through a process, then the dream was birthed. It was birthed with Isaac. And what does Isaac mean? Laughter. And I think this is no coincidence. 25 years later, Sarah became pregnant and Isaac was born. And that was the beginning of the dream for Abraham. God's promise, he'd actually seen the first blade from the fulfilment of that promise. We see Jacob. Jacob was a deceiver, and his name means deceiver, Jacob. But you know, Jacob had to go through a process. He was also a great dreamer. God appeared to him in dreams a number of times. And so I take heart at that, because Jacob, God wasn't put off by the fact that Jacob was a deceiver. He still wanted to take him and mould him and take him through this process and make him what God wanted him to be. And part of that process, he took him to work with another man who was a bigger deceiver than himself. What a surprise. You don't just don't know who God's going to use to develop your character. And Laban, his uncle Laban, was a real control freak. And he robbed Jacob of his livelihood, and so that he could control him and keep a hold of him and his family. Because Laban had learnt something, that while Jacob lived with him, he was most successful. He was very profitable. He was very wealthy because of Jacob. And he knew God's blessing on Jacob's life. He did not want Jacob to go. But Jacob was determined he needed to go. He needed to fulfill his dream. He needed to let God's promises be fulfilled. And so Jacob and Laban agreed that for Jacob to get some financial independence, he needed a means of getting some money. And so he said to Laban, "All right," he said, "you can have all the pure of the flock, and I'll have all the speckled, the spotted, and the brown." So Laban said, "All right." But then Laban had second thoughts, and he thought, "Now the way this man's blessed, he'll rob my eyes out, so I'm going to make sure he doesn't." So Laban had a plan, And he said to his children, he said, take all the speckled, and the brown of the flock, and take them 3 days' journey away from the pure flocks. So Jacob's nowhere near them, and there's no way that Jacob can be blessed. Well, Jacob's left with nothing. He's got nothing to work with. So, fine dream you've given me, God, because God told him. God said that the spotted, the speckled, and the brown will be yours. Then all of a sudden, they're all gone, and he's nothing to work with. So he went back to God, and he said, all right, God, your promise can't be fulfilled. We've nothing to work with. They're all pure sheep or flocks. What can I do? And God gave him a plan. He said to him, he said, take branches off the trees. He said, and cut streaks out of them. He said, and put them, strip the bark and make white streaks on the bark, on the tree branches, and put them behind the feeding troughs. He said, and when the flocks come to water, that's when they mate. He said, and let them see these spotted, speckled branches. Well, it seemed daft, didn't it? It seemed totally off the wall. And if God said that to you, I think you might freak a bit. I might have done. I think, I've got the wrong thing here. Excuse the pun, I've got the wrong end of the stick here. This is not what God said. But Jacob followed God's instruction. And the end of the story was that he became so wealthy and so rich that he was able to leave Laban, because all the pure flocks started to breed, and they bred spotted, speckled, brown flocks. And all those belonged that agreed. All those belonged to Jacob. And soon, Laban had nothing and Jacob had everything. And when he got to that point, he thought it was an opportune time to leave. And he left. You know, God's on our side. That's the good news. And however impossible your situation is, God is for you, not against you. And if you'll listen to him, if you'll go into the word, he'll give you his plan, he'll give you his dream, he'll give you the promise that you need to fulfill your desire. Eventually, God changed Jacob's name. He changed it to Israel. And Israel means ruling with God. And that's what he was. He went from a deceiver to a ruler with God. God changed his nature in the process of fulfilling his dream. Another man who's, and they're all actually in that line of descendancy. The third one was Joseph. Everybody knows Joseph was a dreamer. And Joseph dreamed, as we all know, the sheaves of corn bowing down to his sheaf. And I'd like, if you remember that Joseph went through a horrible process before that dream was fulfilled. He was imprisoned, he was falsely accused, he was ill-treated. But God would have to take him through a process. When God gave him his dream, as a teenager probably, his character couldn't carry that responsibility. And so God had to take him through a process, so that he was fully developed for God to fulfil that dream in his life. And it says, and this blessed me, Psalm 105. And reading from verse 16 down to verse 22 tells us what actually happened at the end. When God summoned famine against the land and broke every staff of bread, he'd sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. You know, God saw that famine way, way down at creation, and he knew the very man who he needed to have in the right place at the right time. You know, God will fulfill your dreams. At the same time, he will fulfill someone else's dreams. And your dreams may intertwine for a while. And God will have a divine plan and purpose. He has planned intricately who you will meet, at what point, and what input they will have into your life and you will have into theirs. God, nothing happens by accident with God. It's all planned right from creation. His feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in a collar of iron, this is Joseph, until what God said came to pass. The word of the Lord kept testing him. The king sent and released him. The rule of the people set him free. He made him lord of his house and ruler over all his possessions, to instruct his officials at his pleasure and to teach his elders wisdom. That's fabulous. Because at that point, after that process, after God had developed Joseph's character, he was ready to see his dream fulfilled, and God did fulfill his dream, and he became prime minister of the land. What a fabulous, fabulous dream to see the fulfillment of. But you know, when that dream was given to him, Joseph could not have handled being prime minister of the land. The people would have had a torrid time, and it would have all failed. God had to prepare his man. And I want all of us who feel that we're going through the process, going through the mill, there'll be different situations in each of our lives, putting us through the process. But be encouraged. If God's given you the dream, it has to happen that you go through process. And it will not be fulfilled overnight. You know, Caleb, he had to wait 80 years for his dream to be fulfilled. He was 80 when he took the high ground. When he went up to Hebron, he was 80. And at 40, he was ready to go. But the scene wasn't set. Other people weren't ready. He had to wait for everyone else. And he had to wait another 40 years for everybody else. By what a lesson in patience, perseverance, endurance. You know, you feel like, quit on the lot of them. I don't care, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm not waiting until I'm 80. I'll be too old and decrepit. But no, that wasn't his attitude. His attitude was, when he went up, he said, I'm as young today, I'm as fit today as the day I was 40. And I'm still going to take that high ground. He never lost his dream. Don't ever quit on your dream. God's given you that dream, and he will fulfill that dream. Just don't quit on it. It's the only time. In fact, I think even sometimes when people quit, God doesn't quit. He will still, I'm convinced, make you pick that dream up. He does. He does. And he'll send somebody along to pick you up and start your dream off again. Your dream, I think every dream, every vision, has inbuilt in it the determination to succeed. Because if you desire something enough, you will overcome every obstacle to get to it. I know it. This is only a small thing. But when I finished work, no, I don't think I have now. I've had a baptism of fire in Harvey Fields Distribution. But when I thought I was retired and I was going to sort of take life at my own pace a bit more, I thought, I'm going to decorate, because I was dreaming I was going to see that place looking smart and clean and pristine. And you know, but when I got the roller out and I was up to my eyes in muck, I didn't like it. This was not my idea of a dream, but this was God's idea of a dream. And this is just a small way God shows us. And when it's finished, and all I kept seeing was the end result. When it's done, it'll look lovely. And I'll be so proud that I did it. And that's what drove me on to do it. And when it was done, I was so pleased. and it gave me so much pleasure to see it looking clean, tidy. And I'm sure it gave Andrew a lot of pleasure because he didn't have to do it. And he loves to see it clean and looking nice. And you know, I was putting one of the borders on, and Andrew had said to me before I did it, get the spirit level. Don't just stick it on. Well, I'd measured by the skirting board, and by the skirting board, all these lengths were level. And Andrew says to me, you don't ever trust a joiner. He'll just slam this skirting board on, and he'll never check whether it's level. Well, I put three pieces on, felt really smart about all this, and I put the fourth piece on, and I looked at it, and I thought, it's got a kink. Oh, it'd be all right. So I put my next bit on, and when I put my next bit on, I thought, no, I'm fine, I'm doing good. Skirting board level, it's okay. And then I got to a piece between the lounge and the front door, and it was a long bit that, and I thought, I was going along, and even my eye said, oh, this is not level, this is not straight, this skirting board is out, how am I going to see? And then this little voice came up inside me, spirit level. So I shot to the ankle board and got the spirit level out, and I put it on top of this board, and I thought, oh, it's way out. So it was still tacky enough to move it and get it level, and I did. And then I looked at this other piece, and I thought, Andrew will walk in and he'll say, that's not straight. And it's one of those things, it hits you in the eye. And I knew while ever it was there, I'd always look at it and I'd always think, second class job. This is not God's type of job. And so I decided we'd better get it right. And I had to scratch it off, and then I had to wait for it. So I had to put more glue on, and I had just enough left to make one extra piece, that length, just enough. And I put another lens on, and this time, before I put it on, I got the spirit level, and I measured it, and it was like this much out from one end to the other. And I was horrified, because I thought spirit level was wrong. It's not that far out. My eye didn't say it's that far out. So I drew a line, and it looked way out to where it was before. But anyway, I thought, well, spirit level's got to be right. Follow the spirit, so I stuck it on and followed the spirit, and to my amazement, it was exactly perfect. It was level. So learn by my mistakes and follow the spirit. It is. But it's, if you see what I'm saying, it's the end result that takes you through the process. And the process isn't nice sometimes, but God will fulfill it. Another thing we need to do is have a positive attitude. There's a film on this morning, just for a few minutes. I saw this, I don't know what it was called, but it was about Uncle Namus, and he was telling stories about Br'er Rabbit. And the animation showed Br'er Rabbit. He was all tied up on a pole, and the wolf was going to roast him over the spit and eat him. And when he put him over the spit and Br'er Rabbit started to sweat, he suddenly started to laugh. He burst into fits of laughter. And the wolf said to him, why are you laughing? I'm going to eat you. Don't you realise what I'm going to do to you? And so the Br'er Rabbit said, I can't help but laugh. He says, I go to my laughing place. And he said to him, where's your laughing place? He said, well, release me and I'll show you where my laughing place is. And so he got released and he took him to his laughing place. And that laughing place was the downfall of his enemies. And he got away. And it was just a little analogy of, you know, when the times get tough and we want to be negative and we don't want to laugh, we can't be speaking all these negative things. And, you know, we've talked about Isaac, his name meant laughter. God was
teaching us something there, wasn't he? It's the laughter, probably the laughter of seeing the dream fulfilled or in the process of being fulfilled. But laughing is very good for us. And the smart attitude is to laugh, because laughing will stop us being negative. Our confession is really important. And, you know, as well as seeing the dream, we need to have the right attitude and we need to have the right confession. And if we can learn to laugh and see the end result, we'll do really well and we'll not have to. It's an easy way to remember not to be negative, if we can get into this lifestyle of rejoicing, the Bible calls it, in everything, give thanks, and a worshiping, rejoicing attitude. And when the devil starts to put the pressure on, then you do need to laugh, because he's under pressure and he's trying to put you under pressure, because he wants you to give so that he can score against you. Well, that's the very time you need to laugh, because I'm not having the devil scoring against me. I'm going to laugh and I'm going to see God have the victory. Geraldine, when I was sharing with her that God was talking to me about dreams, she told me of a prophecy that she gave on one Wednesday morning when we were praying. Apparently it was on the 24th of April this year. I was praying for the fellowship, and God gave Geraldine a prophecy, and this prophecy was, God is calling and raising up a people who will dare to dream. And I just want you to be encouraged today that God doesn't want us to be like a piece of driftwood. He wants us to have a dream. It's scary to dream, because you'll go through a process, but it will be worth it all. So we need to make a decision. Are we bold enough? Are we strong enough? Dare we dream? Do we want to dream? Have we a desire to do what God wants to do in our lives? And I do. I have a desire to see God fulfill his purpose and his plans in my life. And I just want us to sing that song if we can. We sang it last week, but it's very relevant to us today. Lord, make me a dreamer for your kingdom. Plant in my heart heavenly desires. Grant faith that can say impossibilities shall be. A faith that's well convinced that God will meet every need, and he will. He just needs you to dream.